Heavenly Father, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to the gospel, to remind us that it's not just something written on a page for us to hear, but it's things that you want to make present to us today, to reveal us. Help us to know of your love, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So yesterday was hot. Today's hot. Last week I spent a week on the campus of Creighton University, and it was even hotter. 2 days in a row, just at 100 degrees and humid. You know how we like to talk about weather. I wanted to turn to somebody and say, it's hot out, but I was on silent retreat, so I couldn't do that. Well, I did to God a lot, right? I told God, it's so hot. But I wanted to tell someone else even because it was so hot. But neither of those two, like today and yesterday and then in Omaha, it being hot, is compared to what those experienced in the Middle East. When I was studying in Israel for a semester a few years back now, 2 years back, the desert sun would just relentlessly beat down. And there'd be no clouds for the sun to hide behind. But whether we know the Middle East sun and heat or not, we all know the feeling of running, sometimes crawling to the shade. And once there, feeling the power of shade. Shade is refreshing. A matter of moving from one step, just one step, can mean the difference in all the world. Two different climates, if you will. Feeling the refreshing breeze once you're in the shade. Being a source of protection from the harmful rays. There's comfort in shade. That's why our first reading today and our gospel and countless Old Testament readings, Old Testament passages, describe God as shade. Stepping, running, or crawling to God, we receive comfort, refreshment, and protection. And there are some of us here this morning who are straight up in need of feeling the shade. Or being in the shade because we're feeling the heat right now. And God is saying, my arms cast a wide, thick shadow. A shade that cannot be penetrated. So he's saying, step into the shade. And know the Father's love. And there's nothing more important for you and I to know than the love of the Father. That He's a God, that He's a Father who cares, and He's a Father who loves, and that He's good. But knowing the love of the Father, that those characteristics, those fundamental characteristics are of God, are not so simple for some of us. For whatever reason, as we've been approaching Father's Day weekend, the Lord has been putting on my heart all of those who don't have fathers, or their fathers aren't in their lives. And as I've been just praying with that throughout the last 2 weeks, really, just realizing it's not so simple for those just fundamental characteristics of God, for those in those situations to know that. And a large part of why you and I are either quick or slow to run to the shade in seeking the shade of God is because of our earthly father. And that's why the primary duty of a father, the father's primary duty, is not to be successful. It isn't to excel in one's career. And it's not even to be the best provider so as to give your children the most opportunities in life. As all of those things are important, and we're to work hard for all of those. A father has one mission and task in life. And that is to reveal and relive on earth the very fatherhood of God. What a task. What an impossible task. that is. A father is to make known the fatherhood of God to his children. God's patience, his love, his justice, his mercy, his protection, his shade. What father can completely succeed at that? Because you may be thinking, I don't always reveal God's mercy and tenderness to my children. I can burst out in unjust anger. In fact, I do it all the time. I don't always reveal and relive God's compassion to my children. I can be selfish. I'm not as patient as I want to be. And with that being said, what's come to my mind the last, really, the week is a quote from Bishop Olmsted, who's the bishop of the Diocese of Phoenix. And he wrote this 22-page document to his brothers in the Diocese of Phoenix, to all men that he's spiritual father of. And with that, he says this, after the 22 pages, one of the last of the few paragraphs, he says this: "Finally, I want to offer a special word for those men who know they have failed in their fatherhood." And he says, "This is true to a greater or lesser degree in each and every one of us. This can happen through addiction, abandonment, marital conflict, emotional and spiritual detachment, failing to guide the family in the faith, abortion, physical and/or emotional abuse, or the countless ways that we obscure the image of God as the loving Father." He says, "I stand with you as an imperfect father, asking God the Father to make up for the ways that we fail in the greatest of masculine missions." He goes on to say, "Satan will attempt to drag us down into despair that can lead us to abandon our fatherhood even further because of our sins. Yet we must never give up, my sons. Pray and be renewed in the sacrament of reconciliation. Christ strengthens us through confession and the Holy Eucharist to spend ourselves in rebuilding fatherhood in whatever way possible." Again, the greatest of masculine missions is revealing and reliving God to our children. Piggybacking off of Bishop Olmsted, I want to suggest three things to help both you and me respond better to yours and mine greatest of masculine missions. The first, brothers, is to pray. 10 minutes, especially with the scriptures, to learn from Jesus what it means to be a man. I've said before that I grew up seeing my dad on his knees, either on the side of the bed or in front of the couch in the living room. And just subconsciously seeing that growing up taught me that a man prays. Praying is a masculine thing to do. Like I knew that from my dad because I saw him pray. I knew that he prayed. So dads, don't pray so that your children see you to pray, but pray so your children see you pray. If that makes sense. I don't know if it does, but I think it does. But seeing that and knowing that in my dad taught me that a man prays and that praying is a masculine thing to do, knowing that has produced a great amount of shade for me in my life. A great amount of shade. And we're talking something so small. Like, we may be thinking like, okay, like that's me, Bishop Olmsted. If you're like me and I think of revealing and reliving the fatherhood of God, you're like me, you can maybe hang your head a little bit. And those words of Bishop Olmsted are encouraging. But it's like, no, it is something so small. In the gospel today, a mustard seed, which is so small you can't even see it. It's the little things that grow, the mustard seed, to a huge tree that casts a huge shade. And the extent that you and I abide in God is the size of shade we will provide for our children. So pray. Second confession. Again, echoing the words of Bishop Olmsted and say, I stand before you or with you as an imperfect spiritual father. I've said it before, this year as a priest, I am painfully aware of the many ways that I fall short as a spiritual father. So I stand before you, with you, encouraging you as I encourage myself and my brothers encourage me. Mark, get to confession. What is the past, and it don't much matter anymore. After we receive his mercy, his forgiveness, and receive the power and strength that he wants to give us to succeed in the greatest of masculine missions. But we need the strength. We need the power. And third, lastly, be a fit shepherd. It is impossible to pursue this greatest of masculine missions alone. It's impossible. You need brothers striving for the same thing, fighting for the same thing, fighting for what most other men don't fight for, and they're quick to lay over and to lay down and roll over. And that's a quick and easy move. You may remember 7 or 8 weeks ago, I preached at all the masses on Good Shepherd Sunday, and I said, we need to change the narrative. We need to change the culture. And I said, we're going to do it by meeting me in the parking lot at 7 o'clock in the morning to work out. For the last 8 weeks, there's been 60, 70 men meeting in the parking lot to do just that, to change the narrative, to change, to be better, to strive our lives after the Good Shepherd, to sacrifice our lives, to not be like the hireling that when the sheep come, he's quick to lie down and roll over, and the sheep scatter. But the Good Shepherd stays, and he remains in the pain sometimes, and he fights. And sometimes he fights like crazy, and he digs his feet strong and deep into the trench. And so we're out there, and we're doing it. So we work out hard for 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Yesterday, it was actually an hour, because it went long. Worked out. People like, we're okay. We worked out hard. And then we sit down, or we kneel down in the grass, and we open up the scriptures. We come together, and we do sharing. And to countless times, from week to week, you'll hear comments from men asking other men and praying, help me, brothers, help me, God, be a better husband than I was last week to my wife. Help me, God, help me, brothers, be a better father to my children than I was last week. Praise God for that prayer. Because that's all of us. As Bishop Olmsted said in his exhortation, I'm still trying to get Father Don out there in the morning. I'm not holding my breath anymore. On this Father's Day, let us give thanks to our fathers. They deserve so much thanks. But above all, join me with praying diligently for all fathers who have the greatest of missions of making the fatherhood of God known.